My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. We are taking you right up to noon. Then we'll hand it over to D'Lo and KC. That was a fun chat about De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
No,
I'd love it. I'd love it to take a straw poll of NBA players at the All-Star game and be like, if you could be here or not here, which would you choose?
I would like it to be a top secret, like anonymous.
One of those,
anonymous poll.
Well, they do that. Don't they already do that? The Athletic and ESPN, they're various. They do the anonymous player poll and they go, okay, hey, who is the best defender in the league? And there it'll be, you know, X amount of votes for Draymond Green and X amount of votes for Bam Adebayo and Kawhi Leonard and, oh, Keegan Murray had 3 votes. Like, but it's all anonymous. Do you want to go to the All-Star game?
Wouldn't it be awesome, though, if like 23 of the 24 said no?
Yes.
And then it was like, all right, who's the lone?
And it's Domas.
The guy with a big smile. Like, I love being here. Like, well, we know who it is. The rest of you guys are all fine. You're all, no one's coming back. You're all fine.
Right. And if you're like, I don't know. I can't even think of it. If you're Anfernee Simons, you're probably like, yeah, I would love to go to the, I'd love to be an All-Star.
Yeah.
Because of what that symbolizes for like Anfernee Simons and where the Blazers are at right now.
Oh, get De'Aaron wrong. He loves that he was an All-Star. He just doesn't love that he has to go to this event.
That's it. Right.
Yeah.
And turn it into the Pro Bowl. Just full blown. Why not? Do you know how down bad the Pro Bowl is in terms of participants?
It's the worst.
The Niners had like 9 guys and now none of them are going.
Yeah.
But B, Gardner Minshew is now in the Pro Bowl.
Oh, no.
No disrespect. I love Gardner Minshew.
Minshew Magic is right in the Pro Bowl.
But now think about that. Like, think about the equivalent of Gardner Minshew. I genuinely wish I had thought about this more because I'm sure there's like a really good answer out there.
It's like Grand Theft Alvarado. That's like, you're fun.
Yeah,
cool. I'm not putting you out there for 35 minutes, but you're fun. You're cool.
Yeah, no, that's a good, like Jose Alvarado just being an All-Star now.
Yeah. That's the equivalent.
I'm sure he would love to be there.
No, he'd be like, hell yeah, this is awesome. Yeah, Are you kidding me?
I'll take the pub, but I think you're right. It's the honor, not the honor's great, but not, and maybe that's how he should have worded it. Like, love the fact that I've gained this recognition, but I'd rather not go to Indiana for a week.
Yeah, yeah. And I also, like, I think there's a little bit to, like, like Fox gets comfortable, right, with people that he's around quite often, you know, mm-hmm. that he actually feels like he knows a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's part of this where, you know, someone that has been around him a little bit, but not a ton, was asking the question. And and again, his relationship right now is a little strained still with media / whatever.
Sure.
Like all the whole world there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to like completely flambe the guy because I get it. I just like for his own sake would be like, hey man, just don't say that out loud. You can feel that way.
Say maybe word it a little different.
But don't like
kid gloves.
Yeah, kid gloves. Like you, that doesn't feel good for anybody. And it's the same with like Team USA. Like you have to know that that's part of this. Part of it is like buying in and being part of Team USA.
Yeah.
So and I get it. He's not a big buy-in guy to whatever's happening.
Mm-hmm.
His own team, yes. But outside stuff, he's like, no. Like he likes his private time.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Real quick, Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game. It was Keegan Murray.
Yep.
I've got the code word here for you now. Go to ESPN1320.com. The Jiffy Lube Fast Break contest page is right there up front and center.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to click on that. You're going to enter to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate. And this is the final chance to enter to win the Kings jersey giveaway for January.
Okay.
So it is February 1, but that's the last game of January. So this will be your last chance to enter to win a Kings jersey for January. We'll also be giving away one at the end of February, March, and then at the end of the regular season in April. So you're going to go to ESPN1320.com. You're going to click on the Jiffy Lube Fast Break contest page, and you're going to enter the code word Uncle Keegs. Two words. That's right.
Uncle
It Keegs. Turns out we can use two words, and I'm sure you learned that while I was gone, too. But I just learned that yesterday. So Uncle Keegs, the word uncle and then K-E-E-G-S. That is your Jiffy Lube Fast Break code word, player of the game. Enter for a chance to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and a Sacramento Kings jersey, courtesy of our friends at Jiffy Lube.
There it is.
All right.
Hey, I want to answer something from
please.
Da Baby Daddy out in the chat, which I know you love it every time I say that. Is he still mad at you, Ham? Which he, of course, talking about De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
From what I know, De'Aaron Fox is never
Hate
mad
your
at
guts.
Me. He was never mad at me.
Oh, okay.
He was mad at a situation, not mad at me.
Right.
We're fine.
I don't want to make people mad at you, so that's where we're going to cut that off.
Okay.
De'Aaron Fox wasn't mad at James.
Nope.
That's the end of the story.
End of story.
I would like you to say your take about the trade deadline after last night's game. Please.
Just make the GD move.
Make the damn move.
Just do it. Like, whatever. This is what I hate. Like, look. The team is like this all season long. It's like they're the biggest yo-yo team of all time. They just lost four straight. Then they just won four straight. Now they've lost one against a team that lost seven straight. Whatever is happening on the court, Kyle, you as an executive need to know that your team is not good enough for where you want to go. It's not. This team is unstable. It needs something to stabilize it. Sometimes stabilizing something, you got to go outside and bring something new in to change the dynamic of whatever's happening. Mm-hmm. This team, in my opinion, like will not win an NBA championship this year, but I don't even know like projecting out.
Mm-hmm.
Like at some point, if the move is there, don't worry about what's happening in the win-loss column. Just do the move that you need to do. Rip the Band-Aid off, however painful that's going to be, whatever you got to do, and just, if you can make a move and you think it's going to make your team better, then throw in an extra second-round pick. Do whatever it is you got to take. Throw in a little bit of cash to make the deal work. Whatever it is that you need to do to close the deal, do it. Because what we're seeing right now is what we're going to see the entire rest of the season, most likely. This team has shown you who they are. They're the team that will win and lose games that you have no idea what you're getting from one night to the next.
No.
It doesn't mean that they're not 8 games over 500, that they're not a playoff team or whatever. What it does mean is that this team is not what you thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
Running it back has not been the effective move, and it's time to mix it up.
Yeah. And I don't think that necessarily means, and I don't think this is what you're saying, just go make a trade to make a trade. But if you think you can get better, if you're like, yeah, you know what? this makes us, at worst, it's lateral, but we think it'll make us better, then go do that.
Do it.
Even if it's like, I don't even have a good player in mind, but even if it means trading Kevin Huerter. He's been playing really well, but you know what? You don't want to give up Kevin Huerter, but you think it could make you a little better. Just do it, man, because this is not it.
Yeah, and I'm not saying make a move to make a move.
Right,
I'm saying
right.
Make a move because it's not right. What we're seeing, the team is not functioning properly.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the team is not functioning properly, and you need to make a move. Not to make a move. You need to make a move to get better.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah. It's abundantly clear.
No, I think it's abundantly clear. And frankly,
it has been.
Yeah.
Like, and the four-game winning streak was kind of okay. And we talked about it yesterday. Like, oh, this is a little interesting now. Can they use this? Is this their... Remember, the Celtics a couple of years ago were hanging around 500 in January and then went on a tear. The Lakers last year were sub-500 at the trade deadline and wound up in the conference finals. So this four-game winning streak was like, okay, can you string 6, 7, 8 of these games together where it starts to become cohesive and you start to see the vision of what this could look like in the future, where it's better than it's been for the rest. And now it's just kind of like, oh,
they are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, yeah. I think part of the problem is that when you see the team start to improve,
yeah,
and it's because all of a sudden Harrison Barnes is a major factor again, and all of a sudden Kevin Huerter is a major factor again.
Mm-hmm.
As quickly as they reappeared, they could vanish.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, that's what we've seen throughout the last year and a half.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, this isn't the first time that Kevin Huerter's first half of the season is not the first time that you've seen him struggle.
Yeah.
And again, Harrison Barnes, like his stretch where he was ineffective and like started to completely vanish from whatever, it's not the first time you've seen it. Like, players will like eventually go back to who they are as players. And that's okay. You just need to know who you're dealing with and build your team accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is frankly like last night, I told you, I give him a pass for last night. It was day off in Miami.
It's fine.
Before, so that gets, but I've been where you're at, and we talked about this yesterday. Jill Adge, she from Twitter in the chatty house, she mentioned this graphic from Basketball Index that shows it's a stat called LeBron. It's just kind of an overarching mm-hmm. metric, and the Kings one through four are right there. They are
really high level,
really really good. But then 5 through 9 is a disaster.
Mm.
It is a mess. And so if you can make a move that gets that 5 through 9 to be, hey, you know what? 1 through 6 now, they're awesome. And then 7, 8, 9, maybe 9's not great, but 7 and 8 are not awesome, but better than they were. Like, that's the little marginal improvement that we're talking about that gets this team like, okay, now you can see them making a little noise.
Yep.
But right now you just don't see it.
Nope.
All right. Thank you for that. Domantas Sabonis had a triple-double last night. His 13th of the year, the second most in the league. How much do triple-doubles actually matter, though? I have some numbers for you that I find interesting, and I genuinely am presenting them without comment because I don't have a comment because I don't know what to say, and we're going to work that out together.
Okay.
916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. If you would like to join the show, he's James. I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I have something for you. I'm really excited to share it. Here you go, ready?
Yeah. The baby daddy.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Great. Great, Kyle.
Good news for you is the chatty house hasn't heard that yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they don't get to hear the music, unfortunately. I need to get some royalty-free music so I can loop the chatty house into the rejoins, but here's what we got.
The baby daddy.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't know when I'm going to use that, but I'm happy I have it.
Well, that's his name in the chat. Like, what am I supposed to? I can't call him something else. I don't know his name. His real name? I don't know his real name. That's his chat name.
You know what I would do in that situation? I would go like this. I would go, well, that guy.
Oh, okay.
This guy.
This guy. The serial connection.
I mean, this
connection,
is Manny. That's
we
Manny.
We know who Manny is, but right, also but the serial right. connection is
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wants to know every guest that comes in, he asks them, what cereal?
What, right. What's their favorite cereal? I'm going to try and get us a couple of guests for Super Bowl week, and I will make sure we'll get their prediction and what cereal they're eating on game day.
Oh, okay.
Or their go-to cereal.
Yep.
All right. Domantas Sabonis had a triple-double last night for the Kings. He yes. had, nope, he did not have 116 points. He had 19 points, 17 rebounds, 13 assists, a steal, and a block. It was his 13th triple-double of the year.
Mm.
Okay. And the Kings go on to lose that game 115-106. And I went, man, I wonder how many times Domas has had a triple-double and a Kings loss this year. Turns out, it happens almost as often as not.
Hmm.
Sacramento is now 7-6 when Domantas Sabonis has a triple-double. That is a .538 winning percentage. When he does not have a triple-double, their winning percentage is .606. So now I went, okay, that's odd. Is that normal? And it turns out it kind of like it's not of the other high volume triple double guys in the league right now, Luka Doncic and Nikola Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
The Mavs are 5-4 when Luka has one. That's a .555 winning percentage, .552 winning percentage when he doesn't. So it's roughly the same. The Nuggets are 9-5 when Jokic has a triple double, a .643 winning percentage. When he doesn't, their winning percentage is .706.
Mm.
So of those three, their teams are the same or better when they don't have a triple-double. And I don't know why. I genuinely can't figure out why this is, because it's not like with the Kings specifically, it's not like Domas averages 6 a night and then every once in a while blows up for 20 and yeah. he can point to, hey, you know what? When he scores a lot, they're just not as good. No, his triple-doubles are usually right in his 18 to 20 point range.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned this before the show, when you're getting a triple-double, that means you're dishing out assists. I mean, shots for your teammates are falling.
Yeah.
So I can't put my finger on why this is, and it bugs me. Because to me, we celebrate a triple-double like, man, what an accomplishment, what an individual accomplishment. And it is. It's a really hard thing to do. But how much does it affect actually winning? It appears not much.
I don't know if it's... Okay, so... It's difficult to look at these things, right? Because you almost have to look at each individual game and why did you have a triple-double? Why did you not, right? So for me, Sabonis has a streak of 29 straight double-doubles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's got 42 double-doubles on the season out of the Kings' 48 games. So like he's getting a double-double every single night.
Sure.
And almost every single one of those double-doubles, there's a couple in there, but almost every single one of them is a points and rebound double-double.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he is. He's bringing that every single night. The nights that other guys hit their shots is when he gets a triple-double.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not going to say, like, the reason why, like, it feels more coincidental.
Right.
Than it does, like, cause and effect.
Right, but when it's down to three guys where that's the case...
Yeah.
That's where it's strange to me.
I don't feel
on about Domas.
I've never once felt like he hunted a triple-double, ever.
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
So, but, I mean, you'd also have to look at how many, maybe there is something to this, right? So maybe if we looked at how many games Domantas Sabonis scored 23 or more and see what the Kings' record is in that, where you could say, hey, look, Domas, like the triple-double, like we appreciate the fact that you're setting up your teammates. And we appreciate the fact that you're one of the league leaders in assists at like over 8 per game.
Mm-hmm.
But we're a better team when you score 26. So I need you to cut out 3 of those assists and go to the rim yourself or shoot the ball yourself. So maybe that's something where we could dismantle this stat and look into. But outside of that, I think... His triple doubles are a byproduct of the game itself, just how the flow of the game is going. And so I don't know. I'm not gonna say that their Sabonis' triple doubles are the reason why, you know, X, Y, and Z happens. I just think that, yeah, does he need to figure out how to be more impactful as an offensive player, as a scorer?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the path to the Kings winning him scoring more? That might be the case.
Okay, I've got this for you.
Okay.
He has scored 24-plus points in 12 games this year. They're 10-2.
Yep. So don't pass the ball.
Pass the ball less. No, and I think there's something to that. Like, let's go back to that Phoenix game where they smoked that late lead. And one of the things we talked about was like, man, and I came on and I was like, if Domantas Sabonis is going to be that dude, he needs to demand the ball.
Mm-hmm.
The other team is on a run. He needs to get his ass in the post and demand the ball and go score the basketball. Instead of, okay, I got the ball at the elbow. Let me dribble out to the three-point line, dribble handoff, screen. Okay, now I'm back. Like, nah, man, demand the ball. Screw the offense at that point. And I think that's kind of, as we talk this out, I think that's more where I'm landing. Is not all the time. I don't want Domas to go be 28 a night, 30 a night. That's not what I'm asking. Because I don't think that makes the Kings better. But what I am asking is, in those games where we talk about them letting go of the rope.
Yep.
Or in those games where it's close down the stretch and it's like, oh, is De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk, can they bail him out? Like, no, man, get it. Just go get in the post and go to work. Like, he's crafty enough around the basket. It's not like he's bull in a china shop and just the ball goes in. Like, he's crafty. He works his way to the rim and he finds space, a little bit undersized, and he goes in and he's able to he's got good touch off the glass. Like, he's just he's a talented scorer down in the restricted area. I think that's something that, particularly in close games, I think they need to go to that more often rather than just, hey, Domas, go run the offense and get some assists. And maybe that is where it lands. I don't have empirical data for that, but 10-2 when he scores more than 23 points is, I think, pretty good evidence.
I think I just, like, real quick, they're 10-6 when he has 10 assists or more. They're actually 12-6 when he has 9 assists or more. And Weezy brings up in the chat, triple doubles has nothing to do with anything. The Kings shot 10 of 42 from 3. You're not going to win many games if you shoot like that. But and he also don't take the ball to the hoop. Well, they shot 10 of 42 and he had 13 assists. So he did find a way to hit teammates that were scoring at the rim. Mm-hmm. And not just three-point shots.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how many of his assists came on threes, but they only hit 10, and I doubt that all 10 were on his assists.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be like an area of shots where he set up a teammate for an easy bucket at the rim or at the, you know, whatever, wherever the shot went.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know. We can try to, like, break these numbers down even more. But I think the fact that he's going out there and being impactful in every single game that he plays, I'm not going to take away because he hits some statistical milestone in a game.
Yeah. No, that's not, like I said, this is not a Domas thing.
Yeah.
This is not the Kings are 7-6 when he has a triple double and, you know, every other team wins all the time when their guy has a triple double. That's not.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that we as fans and analysts or whatever use that as like this benchmark. Like, he got set to Russell Westbrook and James Harden had all these triple doubles and all that, and Nikola Jokic triple double, and it, like, this year with those three guys who are high volume triple double guys, it doesn't translate to winning as much as I thought it would.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know, it's kind of strange.
Yeah, it's intriguing.
Yeah. Anyways, all right, that's it. That's all I got on that.
That's all you got.
Yeah. I'm not totally, because like you said,
it's confounding.
There's so much there, and there's so much that goes into it. And I'm sure each individual game had something a little different. Like last night, De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk go for a combined like 19 points or whatever. Like, that's just not going to do it on any night. But I don't know. All right. Final segment coming up. It'll be the handoff. I believe D'Lo will be in today. He'll be talking with us. Is there a concern with Malik Monk? Keegan Murray's big boy pants. And let's look at the good, bad, and the ugly from the Kings' loss to the Heat last night. We'll do that next on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, real quick, before we get into good, bad, and ugly from the Kings' loss to the Heat last night, I would like to take a quick second and wish my dad, Mike Madsen, a very happy birthday.
Oh, how nice of you.
Yeah. I was going to text him this morning, but I was like, you know what? I think it's better if I just do this on the radio.
Mm.
So happy birthday, Dad. Happy birthday. And I don't know if we have plans later. I don't know. I'm bad at birthdays. But yeah, shout out, Dad. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all the support. I hope you have a terrific day doing nothing.
There you go.
Or doing whatever. Go to the driving range. Go golf. Do something. I don't know. All right. Love you, Dad. All right. Good, bad, and ugly. Kings lost to the Heat last night. We got to dive in, and let's start with what you saw that was good from Sacramento's loss.
Well, this is always difficult, especially when I can't find it on my sheet of paper. Keegan can be a star, and I think that that's something that we keep coming back to this season, but now we're starting to see him accomplish these feats on a more regular basis. He had a bad game last time out. He shows up in this game. And they need to figure this one out. They need to figure out how to make him a star and how to allow him to become that. And he needs to be a focal point when he is playing like that. It's not every night, but there are certain nights where Kevin Huerter gets hot or De'Aaron Fox gets hot or Harrison Barnes scores 39 points. Mm-hmm. You need to recognize when Keegan Murray's doing it. And you need to feed him and you need to let him be part of what's happening.
I couldn't agree more with you. When he has 21 in the first half, he needs more than, let's see, how many shots did he have in the second half? Oof. Where'd my notes go?
See?
He had 8 of 11. He was 8 of 11. I need to just print this out. I'm trying to save paper by going double-sided, and it really hoses me. He 8 of 11 in the first half, 5 of 7 from 3, had 21 points. Second half, he goes 4 of 7 from the field, 2 of 4 from beyond the arc, 12 points.
Yeah.
And you mentioned those two threes were at the end of the game when it was out of hand.
Yeah.
That can't happen.
I could see the forcefulness of it. Like when he was shooting him late, you could see he was pissed. Like why is it now? Why didn't this happen an hour ago?
Okay, and right, but the onus is on him.
I agree.
Go get the damn ball.
Yes.
And go play. If Harrison Barnes can go back his ass into the block and go ISO in the post, Keegan Murray can do it.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. And the frustration here is that like Keegan is better than I think not better than he plays, but like better than the opportunity he gets. And it's not a coincidence that, hey, when he goes high volume, he puts up 21 in the first half.
Yeah.
When he has 21 and a half, he should be like I said it earlier, Deuce Mason on post game last night said, dude, he should have 40.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not agree more. I would love to see that attitude shift with him. And I think when you see that, I think you'll see a little bit of a shift with the Kings as well. We talk about trade deadline. They got to make a move. One move is Keegan Murray getting out and being more assertive.
Push him out there.
Yep. It has to happen.
Outside of that, on the good, bad, and the ugly, part of the good, Kevin Huerter's back.
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah, I do think he is. Like what we're seeing from him is he's rounding into shape. He looks like the basketball player that he looked like last season when he was very impactful for the Sacramento Kings. And so that's something that that the Kings need. They need this guy to step up and to be there all the time, not just for spurts here and there, but also he's doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just, you know, just shooting the ball. At this point, he's showing that he can do, he can pass, he can rebound, he can get some blocks, he can get some steals. Like his engagement level is way higher than it was before.
Mm-hmm. And when it's not, like 2 for 6 is not, you're not taking 2 for 6 every night. That's 33%. That's not very good.
Yeah.
But when it's Kevin Huerter, when two go down, defenses change what they're doing. And he was a non-factor offensively. For the last couple of months up until recently. And if he's going to be even a little bit of a factor offensively, that we talked about 12, 13, 14 points, that's tremendously impactful for the Kings.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
Also, we have Domas shakes off a bad start. Yeah. He wasn't good early in the game.
I was really worried.
Like 3 or 4 bunnies early.
Yeah, he was like 0 for 5 to start the game.
Yeah.
It's not good.
And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, no. There he is.
Yeah.
There's a guy that's dominated so many games this season.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the bad. Realistically, it looked like De'Aaron Fox wasn't ready to play.
Weird. Really, really weird.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And I don't know what this is, because last year it was night in and night out. It's like De'Aaron Fox is going to be there, and so are the Kings. De'Aaron Fox is going to try and bust your ass and be the best player on the court. And I think that's still there, because you see it when they play the Suns and Devin Booker, or, you know, pick the star. It's like De'Aaron Fox wants to show up. But there's too many nights this year where we come in and it's, man, that was an uncharacteristic De'Aaron Fox performance. And I don't know. I don't know him, so I don't know what's going on. But it's a disconcerting trend of him just not playing well.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone is allowed lulls in the season.
Yeah,
you know, the highs and lows, especially when a player comes out and was playing so well early on.
Yeah.
So you're always going to have these highs and lows, right? But it can't be so dramatic. And you have to understand, like, who you are to this team.
Mm-hmm.
You're the guy who, you're the straw that stirs the drink. Like, you're the guy who has to get everything going. And if you're not getting the ball, like after a made basket, if you're not waiting right there and running the ball up the court, it's noticeable. You know, like there are players who stand out, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when you stand out, you don't just stand out when you're doing good. You stand out when you're not doing good.
No doubt.
And that's a problem. And so, like, I hope that he's able to figure out, you know, again, getting through the ups and downs of the season. But he's kind of been erratic over the last, like, maybe 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had some really good games, but also some games like this where you're like, okay, look, man, you can't get to 27 a game by scoring 43 and scoring 16. That's not how, like, on mm-hmm. back-to-back nights. Like, that's... The team needs you to be more consistent with this. And mm-hmm. I thought early in the season he was incredibly consistent and was waiting for his teammates to come along with him.
And, you know, maybe that's what this is maybe it's maybe he's at the point where he's like, yeah, hit me up in April.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be there. Like, he did his thing at the beginning in the first part of the year, and now it's, like you said, it's just a lull, and then come playoff time the switch will flip. I would buy that.
Okay.
Just given what we know about him as a player. But it is, like I said, it is a little bit disconcerting that it feels like 6, 7, 8 times this year, it's just looked like, is this where he wants to be right now?
Yeah. I mean, 13 points in a game, that's not what the Kings needed at all. They needed the guy who, like, had to put back jam when he was a rookie and won a game. Let's see, what else we got?
They lost to a team that had lost 7 in a row.
Yeah, I struggle with this, though, because I don't think they're a bad team. I think that they're a team that went through a tough stretch. And that tough stretch was going to end, whether it was against Sacramento or it was against Washington the next game. They were going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that happens, and it is Miami, and we can, you know, we've mentioned all that comes along with the South Beach flu and all that stuff. But, yeah, sometimes you're going to lose a game. And you just wish that they would have been able to get over the hump there, because that, again, it would have put you at 10 games over 500. Mm-hmm. It would have given you a 5-game win streak. Mm-hmm. It would have put you at 4-0 on a 7-game trip and given you the win on the road trip. It actually does mean something. And so hopefully this isn't like another step back where we start to see them stack losses.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a one-off.
Yeah. What about Harrison Barnes?
Yeah, he went back to being... Well, you know what? He didn't go back to being Harrison Barnes. Like, I think that's what I wrote, right? Harrison Barnes looks like the other Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. Harrison Barnes goes 0 for 6 from 3, and he took 13 shots. That's the Harrison Barnes you need. You just need to hit him. You need him to hit 2 or 3 of those threes. If he hits 3 threes, you win the game.
Yeah.
You know, like, the game is different if he hits a couple of those shots. So for me, I think that's one of the issues that is this, you're trying to get a guy who has been shut off for a good portion of the season, and you're trying to ramp him back up. And sometimes he's going to go through a bunch of games where he's really good, but then he's going to get exhausted by that because that's not who he's been this season.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to see some drop off games. So what he can't do is go back to the guy who shot two field goal attempts like 5 games ago.
Yeah, we've wanted Harrison Barnes to be more active, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, at this point, I would like to see the consistency of that activity. The 4 for 13 and the 0 for 6, I'm not worried about that being a thing long term. He's too good of a shooter to have that.
Yes.
To have that stay up. So it's definitely bad to shoot it like that, but it's also silver lining to me is that 13 field goal attempts and those 6 3-point attempts.
And 5 rebounds.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest, 5 rebounds is a big deal.
Yep.
Definitely. Okay. Let's get to the ugly.
Yep.
Malik Monk is a bit of a mess. And the second unit can't live without Malik Monk. So not only did Malik Monk have a game where, you know, he had 3 turnovers and 0 assists and only 6 points, but also with the impact that had on the second unit was devastating for this team. They got outscored, 47-16 by the bench.
He was a Malik Monk by himself, not to cut you off.
Yeah.
The Kings lost last night by 9. Kevin Huerter, -1. Keegan Murray, +4. Domantas Sabonis was a 0. De'Aaron Fox, -4. Harrison Barnes, +1. Malik Monk, -16.
Mm. Your bench got killed.
Smoked.
47-18. And in a 9-point game, 47-18.
Damn.
That is tough.
That's really bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, and it's I saw the chatty. I was talking about this earlier too. Like with Malik, the 6 points, the 0 of 4 from 3, the 3 of 8 from the field, that's gonna happen sometimes. He's a little bit of an up and down player like that in terms of being a scorer. But it's the zeros across the board. No rebounds, no assists, no steals, no blocks.
Yeah.
He was just floating. And I think that's why you see him play 14 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think part of this might be that Kevin Herter's back to playing how Kevin Herter was, and all of a sudden he's getting more minutes, and Harrison Barnes is playing much better, and you can't go steal a bunch of minutes for the shooting guard position at the small forward right now mm-hmm. because Harrison Barnes is playing better.
Right.
So maybe it is like a numbers crunch thing. But and look, the other thing they're doing is they've been giving Davion Mitchell, I mean, he only played 12 minutes in this game, but like I think he had 22 minutes a couple of games ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like those minutes come from somebody. Just like shots come from somebody, those minutes come from somebody. And a lot of time it feels like they're coming from Mr. Monk at this point.
Yep. Outside, what else you got?
Outside of that, the bad, they ignored Keegan. He was having a great night. We talked about this. He needs to be more vocal, but they also need to realize what's happening and not allow that to happen. And then the last thing is, like, nothing should be off the table at this point. Like, if you can improve this team, Fox, Sabonis, Murray, they should be off the table. But as we inch towards the February 8th trade deadline, like, it's game on now. Like, this team has shown you who they are. We've seen enough. Like, go ahead and whatever it is that you got to do, make your move.
Yeah, you're a week out from the trade deadline. That's that's kind of the short of it. Even if you don't, you're running out of time.
Yeah.
I frankly, like I said, I've been here with they need to make a move for a month now.
Oh, yeah.
It's just been, okay, they got to Christmas and then the week and the 2 weeks. It's just, this is the team and it's not that they're bad. And if you came down and you came from the future and you said, hey, the Kings actually stood pat at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
They made a Kessler Edwards type move. They traded a future second for some rando on a bench who wasn't playing and now he's going to be here with the game. Okay. They mostly stood pat at the trade deadline. And then they went into the playoffs and they took the Clippers to 7 games in the second round. Like, I would believe that. I would buy that.
Okay.
But it would mean, hey, okay, first round they got a good matchup and maybe De'Aaron was just the best player on the court and they went and won that series. And then they had a huge Kevin Herter night against the Clippers and it would be like so many, not miraculous things.
Situational.
So many, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so that's many, what it would
so
be.
So many like off schedule things would have to happen.
Yeah.
For that to be a thing.
No, I totally think it would be like if you were to advance and have all of that positivity, it would be a situational reason why that happened. It was a team you're playing or an injury or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it would not be because you're the best team out there and you're expected to win the first round. You're expected to compete in the second round or even that's win the second round.
Right.
I don't think that's where I would be at with this team.
Would they be? Let me here. Let's do this as we get ready to bring in Damian Barling for the handoff. Who would their current their current playoff matchup as the seeding falls today would be the Nuggets in the first round.
Yeah, bye.
In that case, yeah, I'd be pretty shocked if you told me they won in the first round.
Now they've played well against the Rockets, but the Rockets are a team. The Nuggets. That's what I mean. They played well against the Nuggets, but like, look, I would not expect them to advance at all.
Here, let's run through this with Damian Barling for the handoff. D'Lo and KC coming up here at noon. D'Lo, what's going on? That jacket is out of control. That is so fire.
Thank you. Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
He's a little blurry.
I'm blurry?
A little blurry.
Yeah. Oh. So I don't know.
It's having a hard time adjusting to the color of your jacket, I think.
It could be. It could very well be that.
Your hand close and then pull it back.
That's the Damian trick. No?
No, that didn't help either.
Oh, dang. All right, you're just blurry today. Damian's blurry today. No, but tap in because the jacket still looks fire, even with the blur. So tap in on youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. All right, I was gonna do this with James, but I'm going to do this with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're talking about the Kings need to make some kind of move because as it sits right now, they're not title contenders. And what I want to do is, because I know you're of the mind that was not the goal this year, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So you don't mind that?
Well, sure. Like it could be the goal. It can absolutely be the goal. But behind the scenes, is this a realistic expectation?
Sure.
I'm of the belief it shouldn't have been.
Okay. So what I want to do is I want to run through potential playoff matchups and would the Kings be favored in this playoff matchup?
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
Phoenix.
No.
Let me define favored. I don't mean in Vegas. I mean, just going in,
I think like they can. I think they can beat Phoenix if that's what you're at. Yeah, I think they could. I wouldn't. I wouldn't hate a matchup with Phoenix. I wouldn't hate a matchup with Phoenix. There might be a small caveat to that, but I wouldn't hate a matchup with Phoenix.
It's definitely if there is the small caveat that they're all healthy.
No, it's like I just don't know what bench this Kings team has anymore. Like that's I think where you could absolutely murder Phoenix. Yeah. Is your depth.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the depth of this team, especially with Malik struggling, is not there right now.
No. He's too vital to struggle like this. Yeah. The Kings bench.
And then we saw last night, if Malik is struggling and De'Aaron's off.
It's night-night, dude. And that's but I think that's the case. I don't know if that's a Kings roster construction thing or just a fact of the NBA. If your very best player and then the person I believe to be your most important player combined for 19 points or 18 points or however many it was, like you're just not probably going to win that game.
Yeah.
There's very few teams that are surviving that kind of game.
No, I totally agree. I would say to get back to Phoenix, that to me is a coin flip series. Like it's a six or seven game series, and I'm not sure who wins, but I think it's a coin flip. They have the experience, you have the better bench, or you have the better depth, and you're a more well-rounded team.
What about Denver? That would be their matchup if the season ended today.
Yeah, I think they match up very well with Denver. The problem is, and this I think is an interesting conversation to have about teams in the playoffs, is you're playing the same team over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So is Sacramento really, really good against Denver on a night in February? Right. Absolutely. But will they be really good against Denver on April 7th, 9th, 11th, 14th? Like, I'm not sure.
Right.
Like, that's kind of where I feel like that might favor Denver. I'll go no. I don't hate that matchup, but I'll go no.
I would say they lose in six.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they can compete. I think they could compete with Denver. Yeah.
What about the Clippers?
Nope.
No.
The Clippers are. Mm-mm. I was, real quick, wrong on the James Harden thing.
Yeah, so was I.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I mean, he has been really good.
But it's worked out. You know, Russ has done a fantastic job. You know, poor Bones Highland, who was playing really, really well, is just like gone.
Doesn't exist anymore.
And, you know, this team, though, ultimately won't be, this doesn't matter. They're the hottest team in the league right now. It doesn't matter. That's not what this team is going to be judged on.
Yep.
But I hate this matchup for Sacramento.
First round, if the season ended today, would be Clippers Suns.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, that's.
See, for me, that's, you're going to lose that series in five, or you're going to lose that series in six. You're not going to be able to compete heavily.
I don't think so. The Clippers. Yeah, I don't think so.
The Thunder and the Timberwolves are the other two teams atop the Western Conference right now.
I mean, obviously, the Thunder, I'm good with the Thunder matchup.
Yeah, they've killed them.
I think I'd pick the Kings in that series.
Yeah.
I think I'm interested to see what their next matchup looks like in Oklahoma City, because the Kings have gotten them twice early in the year at home.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested to see how that game goes in OKC. I think they finished this road trip with it.
No.
It this or next one?
No, it's got to be the next one. I think they finish in Cleveland, don't they?
Oh, yeah. It's Indiana-Cleveland.
Yeah.
Or Indiana,
no, Indiana, Chicago, Cleveland.
Yeah,
Midwest. Yeah, okay.
Well, that Chicago team could blow up at any time. that could get interesting.
Or they could
right
beat
there.
The Kings by 25.
That's true.
Let's not think about that.
This what just happened right there. That 12 seconds of radio is exactly what the Kings are this year.
Yeah,
we're like
facts.
Yeah, I think they could beat the Thunder in a playoff series. Yep. Might lose to Chicago by 25.
Yep. 100%.
That's where we're at.
Absolutely. That's what was maddening about last night's game. We were all concerned about last night's game, but I think we were all concerned about the way Miami was going to play.
Yeah.
Miami was fine. Like, they were fine. I didn't feel like they were great last night.
No, they were still beatable. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. It almost.
The game was there for the Kings.
I didn't expect to be frustrated by the game.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I get it. Like, it's like Eric Spoelstra's never lost this many games in a row. And then I'm watching it like... It's right there.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah.
And Josh Richardson is beating you.
Yeah, he killed.
Like, it's one thing for Jimmy to get you, but Josh Richardson got you.
Yeah.
He got
you. That was tough. That was frustrating.
He had some tough shots, man.
He single-handedly outscored the Kings bench. It was like 26-18. Like, he crushed them.
He's 24, but yeah.
24. 24 to 18. Them. Yeah. And I mean, the Kings bench 47 to 18. You just can't have that.
Yeah. Ouch, man. That was tough. What about the teams behind? Like, I feel like the teams behind the Kings might scare me more than the teams in front of them. Because you got the Pelicans.
Yeah.
You have the Mavericks.
No,
the Mavericks. Yeah.
I know the Mavericks aren't good, but dude, you got to deal with Luka
in the playoffs?
Seven times.
Yeah. No, that's true.
I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm more concerned about dealing with Kyrie seven times than I am Luka Doncic. I salute. Luka's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I feel like the Kings can handle Luka Doncic. Kyrie, I've watched the Kings as recently as what? Last year, Kyrie's
impossible.
Kyrie beat the Kings in a game the Mavericks didn't even want to win.
Yeah.
Kyrie beats the Kings and the Mavericks are like, dude, sit. We're done. We don't want this. Sit down.
Kyrie's impossible because you can play perfect defense on him and it won't matter.
It's incredible.
But early in the season, Luka and Kyrie both went off and the Kings beat them.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. That was fun. D'Lo and KC are coming up next right here on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Center. Boom.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.